Last week we started this series, People of the Passion, and we began to look at some of the, what you would say, key players maybe in the Passion of Jesus. Some were actively involved with the persecution, with the mocking, with the crucifixion itself. Some were simply bystanders, but had a significant role in the Passion. We looked at, who did we look at last week? Can anybody tell me? Judas, yes. Judas, if I were to ask you, who was the worst villain in the Passion, who would you say? I mean, some might argue that it's Judas, right? I mean, you sit and think about how someone so close to Jesus could, in such a, well, I say short period of time, it happened over a little bit of time, but turn completely against Jesus and be responsible for handing him over, so to speak, to the crowd that the chief priest sent. And so by some, Judas could be considered one of the worst villains in this Passion narrative. We also saw last week that Judas was pretty self-centered. He was all about himself, getting what he wanted, and thus even agreeing to turn Jesus over for money. What about Pilate? We're going to get to Pilate next week, but sometimes people think Pilate might be that worst villain. But it might be argued that the guy we're going to look at this evening could be the worst villain, and that's Caiaphas. And this simply because it could be argued, I know a lot of this is still speculation, but it could be argued that without Caiaphas, Pilate or Judas may not have had even a role to play in the crucifixion of Jesus. Why is that? Who was Caiaphas? Does anybody know who Caiaphas was? High priest. He was the high priest of the time. Now, does anybody know what the role of the high priest was? I'm going to try to, in a nutshell, tell you a little bit, and this is by no means extensive or exhaustive, but the high priest during this time was selected by the Roman governor. He was appointed by the Roman governor, totally different from in the Old Testament when it was really basically the family line. But at this time, the Romans controlled the area. They were politically, from the political side, over the Israelite territory. And so the Roman governor is the one who appointed the high priest, but the high priest was to oversee the affairs of the Israelite people. He had some political role. He was the religious leader of the time. He was probably considered more like the head of the religious councils that met. And so he was looked to as an authority figure and someone that the Roman government wanted to put into place to help control things. And so that's the position that Caiaphas is in. Why is that significant? What is he so worried about when Jesus comes on the scene? He's really worried about his job. Because all of a sudden, these crowds are starting to follow Jesus around. He's gaining popularity. He even begins to question the high priest, question the religious leaders. I mean, we have instances where he addresses the Pharisees and the Sadducees about their traditions and all sorts of things. He's really getting after them. And then he also gets after Caiaphas, or the temple, so to speak, in another area. Do you remember when he goes into Jerusalem? He goes into the temple courts, and what is taking place? that really upsets Jesus. There's money changers there. They're selling things. They're selling animals for sacrifices and money changers there to exchange the currency from the different parts of the regions that came to for the Passover and offer these sacrifices. And Jesus runs them out. Now, one thing that Caiaphas was also, he was the keeper of the temple treasury. So where does this hit Caiaphas? In his pocketbook, right? And so now you've got another strike against Jesus. Not only is he gaining popularity, but he's hitting people where it hurts the most, because Caiaphas was really like Judas. He wasn't concerned about the people. He wasn't even really concerned about the Roman government other than keeping them happy. He was concerned about who? Himself. He was concerned about amassing as much wealth as he could for himself. One interesting thing is that most agree that Caiaphas was a Sadducee. Now, we hear the words Sadducee, Pharisee, Essenes, and different other splinter groups of the Jewish people. But a Sadducee was really on the, we use these words quite often, liberal and conservative. He was really on the liberal side, religious speaking. They didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in the afterlife, heaven or hell. And so, therefore, he was not concerned about any of that stuff. All he was concerned about was what he could amass on earth. And so when Jesus comes on the scene, starts questioning the Pharisees and Sadducees, starts throwing the money changers out of the temple, hitting Caiaphas where it really hurt, Caiaphas is concerned really about one thing, and that's his job. If for some reason this stirred up enough problems in Jerusalem, at the temple, if enough problems arose, if Jesus stirred up too many issues, then the Roman government would probably step in and do away with Caiaphas. So Caiaphas had a lot to lose here if Jesus caused all of this to happen. Now, this did not just happen overnight. It built its way up to Good Friday. We see in John chapter 11, which is the text, serves as the text for the message this evening. John chapter 11, beginning with verse 47. Then the chief priest and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. "What are we accomplishing?" they ask. "Here is this man performing many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and then the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." So there we have it. I mean, they're concerned about his position. Then one of them, named Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, spoke up. "You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish." He did not say this on his own, but as high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation, and not only for that nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and make them one. So from that day on, they plotted to take his life. Caiaphas really didn't know how true his words were when he spoke, "It is better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish. Now, Caiaphas wasn't concerned about the nation. What he was concerned about was himself again. And he's saying it would be better just to go on ahead and get rid of this guy than the Romans coming in and taking us all over. That was all he was concerned about. In fact, Caiaphas was only concerned about murder. But what was God concerned about? Salvation. Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin, they were only worried about fulfilling and carrying out their purpose by killing Jesus. But God, he was concerned about carrying out his purpose through the death of Jesus. You know, it's really amazing. You know, Caiaphas was concerned about himself, and we talked about how he didn't believe in the resurrection. He didn't believe in a lot of the teachings of the Old Testament. But how true is that even for us today? I mean, we have church bodies. We have church leaders. We have television evangelists. We have radio evangelists who twist the truth, who don't tell the truth, who don't speak the truth. For what? For money. To advance themselves. And even if we think about ourselves, being a follower of Jesus can be a little bit uncomfortable at times, right? I mean, we can be in situations where, probably especially at school, where we're proclaiming to be a Christian is not the popular thing to do. Or if you talk about Jesus with your friends, it's something that's not popular. People may laugh at you. People may make fun of you. And so Jesus, even for us, there's a lot of times when we want to twist his word around to say what we want it to say, to fit how we want to live, or make it seem less important. But we don't want to do that. We want to speak the truth of God's word. We want to know the truth of God's word because the truth is what saves us. The truth is what brings us forgiveness. The truth is what promises us eternal life. Caiaphas certainly could be considered the worst villain in the Passion story. But yet, God used him in a way that brought salvation to the whole world. You know, that's something I asked the kids today in Blast. I think it's hard for a lot of us to swallow sometimes. But who did Jesus die for? Us, and who else? Everybody. And I had one kid say, even the really, really bad people? And I said, yes, even the really, really bad people. Anyone, or he died for everyone. But I told him the only problem is some people are going to reject who he is. But if they don't reject, if they profess him to be Savior, they're saved. That's the beauty of the cross. That's the beauty of the Passion. And that's the beauty for us, because we really deserve to die because of our sinfulness. But yet God sent his Son to die for each one of us, to bring us forgiveness and life. Let's pray. Lord, we are certainly amazed at the extent that you went to for us. And Lord, we're even confused sometimes at how you did simply die for every single person in the world. Help us to understand and know that through your death, you bring us forgiveness. And Lord, that you want us in some way to be an example of what you've done for us, to so that others will see who you are and what you have done for them. Lord, we continue to pray that as we go through this Lenten season, that you would draw us close to you, and that we can be your witnesses in a world that is hurting and dying and filled with so much pain and hurt, that we can be that light to those people. Just continue to bless each one of us here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.